the supermarket, you've probably seen Beyond Meat products, maybe in the refrigerated food section. But Beyond Meat is not meat. It's a plant-based alternative. And the company has been on a meteoric rise, not just with consumers, but also on the stock market. Its initial public offering in 2019 was one of the most successful IPOs in the last two decades.
Shares of plant-based burger maker Beyond Meat have more than doubled in their market debut.
That's why his No Meat Burger had one of the juiciest IPOs in two decades, more than doubling its price on the first day.
Beyond Meat signed up major celebrities as spokespeople, like Snoop Dogg.
How did I introduce plant-based meat to my family, plant-based products to my family? I just slid it on them. I snuck it in.
And Kim Kardashian.
I believe so much in the mission of Beyond Meat that I've stepped in to help with my greatest asset, my taste.
But now, Beyond Meat is really struggling.
The list of their troubles is long. The company is losing more and more money each quarter. It's got over $1 billion in debt. Its sales are dropping. It's losing market share. Its stock price has plummeted.
The company's plight has many wondering whether Beyond Meat and the plant industry at large have hit their expiration date. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Wednesday, November 30th. Coming up on the show, will Beyond Meat be able to get beyond its problems?
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Beyond Meat is the brainchild of a man named Ethan Brown, who sees plant-based meat as a way to fight climate change.
So Ethan Brown is this tall, bearded, 51-year-old entrepreneur.
That's our colleague Jesse Newman.
He's a native of the Washington, D.C. area, who says that he developed a love and appreciation for animals during the time that he spent as a kid on a family farm where his family was a partner in a dairy operation. And he says that that experience then sort of sparked this sort of foundational question in him about whether we as humans need animals to produce meat.
Here's Brown talking at a conference last year.
I didn't envision a world where we'd all be eating salad, but I did think about how could you skip the animal and make a piece of meat directly from plants. And
that just so, you know, back in 2009, Ethan launches Beyond Meat in a commercial kitchen in Maryland. And they start out just by selling sort of an early plant-based product in Whole Foods, prepared foods section in just like the mid-Atlantic part of the country.
Beyond's early products were plant-based chicken tender strips and crumbled meat. But Beyond was working on getting a burger to the market. The company wanted the product, this fake meat, to have the same texture and taste as real meat. So Brown worked with university researchers to come up with a process that would achieve that goal. Here he is earlier this year being interviewed on Bloomberg.
If you think about what meat is, and this is really where I think things get exciting, meat is a composition that is very familiar to us, and it's essentially five things if you think about it at a really high level. It's amino acids, it's lipids, it's trace minerals, it's vitamins, and it's water. Said more simply, it's basically protein, fat, and water.
And these were not your mushroom patties or your bean patties of years past. These products were designed to sizzle and to sear and to grill up like real meat.
With beet juice.
Yes, exactly, with beet juice.
People won't eat beets, but they like their beet juice in their
plant-based burgers?
Well, they give it a convincing, you know, a convincing color.
And with its burgers, Beyond wanted to go after more than just vegans and vegetarians.
And so their goal was to branch out beyond the sort of black bean burger eating niche and appeal to a much, much broader base of consumers. You know, they wanted to win over meat lovers. And it was for that reason that they pushed to get their burgers in the meat case at Whole Foods, you know, where they say that your typical carnivore will shop for their protein.
Oh, so not next to the tofu, but next to
right
the steak.
Exactly.
Do you have a sense of what Brown was like as a leader in those early days?
The way that people have described Ethan Brown is, you know, a lot of people really admire him. They say he's a charismatic, personable guy, really important face for the plant-based meat industry, given how, you know, passionate and committed he is to the products and to the message.
And the company says Brown's leadership style was to run Beyond like a tech startup.
You know, Beyond will tell you that one of the big things that Ethan did was draw inspiration from the tech industry and sort of bring over a product development model that emphasizes what they call rapid and relentless innovation. It's fast-paced, it's intense, and, you know, the company says, look, this is a process that involves a lot of trial and error.
Beyond quickly expanded from just the Whole Food aisles. Its products started showing up in more conventional grocery stores. Sales were growing fast. And then came its IPO.
The company launches what today is still one of the best public market debuts in the past two decades. They win a valuation of close to $4 billion. That's huge. And a couple months later, they top, they're well over $10 billion.
Investors had flocked to Beyond, and that gave the company resources it needed to expand. Beyond pumped a ton of money into research and development, as well as its manufacturing capacity.
You know, they're building for growth. They start to invest in that future growth. I mean, they were going after these big accounts, big clients, fast food chains that the company called whales. The last thing they wanted to do was land a whale and not be able to supply them. So they start hiring the people and nailing down, you know, the space to make their products.
And did they land any of these whales?
They did.
This is KFC's Beyond Fried Chicken. It tastes like fried chicken, but it's made of plants.
We're not going to tell you which of these McDonald's burgers is made of plants. Okay, fine. Introducing the new McPlant.
And they're coming out with new iterations of these products as well, or they're working on new iterations of these products as well.
What is it like? What's a new iteration of these products?
They came out with they had the Beyond Burger 1, and then they came out with the Beyond Burger 2.0.
Oh, very tech.
Yeah, high tech. And, you know, they're upgrades. This is the rapid and relentless innovation model that they talk about.
But that relentless innovation model quickly ran out of juice. That's coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Fueled by its IPO money, Beyond was expanding fast. It invested in a new campus and was quickly developing new products. But under the surface, problems started to emerge.
And at first, Beyond's problems were good problems. You know, demand for their products from fast food restaurants was growing really quickly, and they were just struggling to make enough. And restaurants, you know, were selling out of their products amid all this buzz. But, you know, then things started to turn. You know, what we learned in talking to current and former employees is that inside the company, it's just a steady stream of delays and missed deadlines and irritated customers and botched product launches.
One example of a botched product launch involved an upgrade to Beyond Sausage. Jesse heard from employees about what went wrong.
In 2020, Beyond had launched a new version. It was supposed to be Dinner Sausage 2.0. And they changed a number of things about this product. And they did inadequate testing. There were a number of problems, but one of them was the appearance. So when stored on shelves vertically, these sausages sagged and looked rather unappealing.
Saggy sausage.
Saggy sausage.
Saggy sausage was a big turnoff for consumers. It even went viral on social media. It made retailers upset. And Beyond pulled the product from stores.
And what current and former employees will tell you is that similar problems occurred with just about every product rollout and every partnership, that was not unique.
That debacle with the sausage, employees told Jesse that similar problems happened with the rollouts of other products, like Beyond's chicken tenders and its jerky.
And so what happens is that Beyond will come up with these new exciting products and show them to customers all before they know how to produce them in larger volumes on factory equipment in plant settings. And not only that, but there will be big multi-million dollar investments that will be made before the company knows how to produce the food at scale.
And the people you spoke with say this kind of hastiness originates from Brown.
100%. The people that I talked to, the employees I spoke to, say that Beyond's problems start with Ethan Brown, no question. They say that he struggles to plan and prioritize and sequence projects. And that, yes, he sets priorities, like the company says, but then strays from them frequently. You know, the employees that I spoke to say that the charisma that Mr. Brown is known for outwardly often isn't on display inside the company. They say that he can be petulant and abrupt, and that he's sort of fostered this culture of finger-pointing and is looking for employees to blame when things go wrong.
How did Beyond respond to these characterizations of Brown's leadership?
Beyond strongly, like, disagrees with the idea that Ethan Brown struggles to plan and prioritize and sequence projects. They just vehemently disagree. They say that they operate from a 3-year strategic vision and an annual plan that, you know, informs the work that they do there. And they say that the pace and the intensity of how they operate, like, isn't for everyone, but they point to the many, many products that they've introduced in restaurants and at retail just in the last 12 months.
Jesse spoke with several company executives and employees who praised Brown's leadership. And the chairman of the board told her he continues to strongly support Brown as CEO. Beyond's challenges have taken a toll on the company this year. Executives have left, sales are down, and the company has laid off more than 200 people, nearly a quarter of its workforce. And what is the company doing to turn things around?
So Beyond has recently laid out a pivot in its business model away from this, what they described as this growth above all model, to a more sustainable growth model. And they say that they're really going to narrow and focus. They're going to focus on fewer restaurant and retail opportunities. They're going to focus on updating their core products like plant-based sausage and burgers and beef. They're going to reorganize their manufacturing operations to reduce their expenses. And of course, they're now operating with a much smaller staff. So this is a huge shift for the company.
Is this sort of an acknowledgement that things weren't running well?
In many ways, yes. It's an acknowledgement that the, again, what they call the growth above all model needs to change, because the view was that the last thing you want to do is sign up a big, you know, restaurant customer and not be able to supply them. And it's an acknowledgement that that enthusiasm just no longer makes any business sense.
But Beyond's problems are now raising bigger questions about the consumer's appetite for plant-based meat generally. Sales in that category are down over the year, according to market research firms. And many of those products remain more expensive than real meat.
You know, the jury's sort of still out on whether these products taste good enough for people to keep buying them. And right now, at the price point that they're at, the answer for a lot of people is no.
If Beyond can't turn it around, what do you think this says about where the plant-based meat industry is heading?
I think there are a lot of questions right now about whether plant-based meat is, you know, just sort of the latest fad, or if it's a lasting trend.
That's all for today, Wednesday, November 30th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. And before we go, we have some happy news. Ryan and his wife, Molly, just had a baby. So he's taking a few weeks off. He'll be back in January. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.